Are you recording?
Press the button.
Press the button.
Oh, God.
Button is
We're
a go.
Doing it live, guys.
I am late to the party.
Yeah, yeah.
That's per usual.
That's nothing new. Speaking of being late to the party.
Oh, yeah.
It's the last episode of 2021.
I wouldn't call 2021 a party.
Definitely wasn't.
No, no. It's like the party where the guy spikes the punch with Epicac and we just all yawn it all over the place.
You kind of wake up in 2022 and wondering what happened.
Everybody got roofied.
Miserable. Everybody got roofied. Oh, everyone got chloroformed.
Absinthe.
Chloroformed.
Yeah. So
what happened?
Here I am.
Yeah. I mean, the holidays were kind of, they're nice. They're kind of winding down now. We've, a couple days left from the new year.
Yeah, it was good. Wasn't as busy as normal because of everything, which was nice.
No. Any resolutions?
Maybe a new job and work out.
It's probably going to be better.
Okay.
I'm still going to be a horrible
person. Dan, that's been yours for, like, ever. And have we hit the mark on that at all?
No, not once.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Just spiral. It keeps getting worse.
You just try to come back.
Yeah, that's why I set the goal low. I still can't hit it. I just want things to improve a little bit.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be much. Just slightly, slight improvement.
Baby steps. Baby steps.
And that's, for me, that's shooting for the moon. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So. Well, the past couple of years, we've kind of ended the year with
the tops.
Top of the wrestling world in our eyes.
Wrestling world. It has changed over the years.
Yeah.
Very much so this year.
Yeah. I know we did this for a long time, or we talked about this for a long time. It was like a while ago at this point, but we had the top five. In every episode, we were like, let's change one thing in the top five. And it could be anything.
Yeah.
It could just be like the top five best thing, And
a running ranking system?
Yeah. Do we want just like a top five? Do we want to split this year into different categories outside of wrestling? Do we want to do just like a top five favorite wrestlers of the year, and then just top five favorite things, top five favorite, it could be events, it could be movies, it could be shows, it could be whatever.
Have
I will roll with whatever punches you throw at me.
Have a consensus and a whiteboard, and as things go on, they change them.
Well, Dan took the whiteboard when he moved out, so I don't have that, but we could try. Or we could stick to status quo for this episode.
Yeah.
And then next episode, we do like the
we'll pretend like we had a plan for that one, too.
Yeah.
Start throwing curveballs.
Dan, this is why your get better resolutions never work out.
I'm just too honest with myself.
Why don't we stick to then the top five in the wrestling world? And then maybe next episode, next week, next recording, we do a potpourri.
A potpourri.
A miscellaneous?
Sure.
I don't know.
Why not?
We'll shoot for it.
Just give the fans what they want. Just give them the Batista.
And zoom out.
Yeah. The best friend's hug, yeah. Or the Rainmaker. I like that it's kind of taken over more as like the best friend's hug and not the
Gotta
Rainmaker.
Give people what they want.
Yeah, at least in the U.S., so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But all right, so what do we want to start with then? Do we want to start with tag teams, women, or men?
I think last year we started with men.
Okay.
And I think the year before was maybe tag.
Okay.
Swing it to the women first this year?
No, because I have to think about that.
All right.
Men's. The men, for me, it's pretty easy, pretty straightforward. As with other years, I kind of know we stick mainly to AEW because that's kind of our main.
That's also kind of where you want to find tag team wrestling if we're talking about
tag. Yeah, if we're talking about tag team wrestling. There's exceptions.
Let me put it this way. The biggest exploits tag teams have had in WWE have all been solo accomplishments.
Yeah.
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 Over the last year. So.
But, you still got Impact. You got New Japan. Ring of Honor doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. It does.
Yeah, but even New Japan doesn't really focus on like tag teams per se.
No.
Like,
stables.
At least not as they've done in the past.
No. I think they haven't been able to rely on tag teams. That's
issue. Part of the issue, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's just start with the numero cinco for the men.
All right. Do we have honorable mentions?
I think we can do those at the end.
Yeah, let's do those at the end. Yeah. And just, I mean, across any promotion, whatever you want to do, whomstever.
Whomst.
There it is. All right. Who wants to go first? We want to Rochambeau this?
I can go first.
Yeah. There.
All right.
Might as well. Since you're on that side.
Age before beauty.
Number five, and fuck off.
I was like, is he going to catch that one or no?
Oh, I caught it. And I was trying to think of something clever, but now just fuck you.
Perfect.
Number five is Jurassic Express. A couple of good matches throughout the year. You know, they've had the blow off, you know, working with Christian in particular. You know, they had the blow off match with the Elite.
Okay.
Which was fun to watch, you know. Having a couple of big spots go off of the ramp,
yeah,
you know, into the abyss of the whatever they put around
the bodies,
ramp.
You know, and you know, we've started to see the emergence of Jungle Boy, but it's still not quite there yet. So he's still very much part of the tag.
He's not quite a jungle man yet.
I would say he's a jungle man at this point, but
he's a jungle teen.
Yep.
After that street fight. He's a jungle man.
Yeah, he's a jungle man after Street Fight.
Yeah. All right. Bri?
So five for my tag is actually not an official tag, but a tag team nonetheless, in the Eddie Kingston and John Moxley.
There we go.
Okay. Yeah.
I think they might have been higher if Moxley was, you know,
yeah,
if he stayed around.
Yeah.
Taking personal time off.
Yeah. You know, health. You know.
I like that pairing. I think they're a great, you know, great individual talents, but sometimes, I mean, you have two individuals or singles, you know, people come together that have a good tag chemistry or just, you know, bring the best out of one another.
Yeah, and I think them being on the indies and stuff helped that chemistry.
Yeah.
They had some great matches.
Yep.
And some great storylines, but, you know, things happen.
Yeah, totally.
Always fun to see those two work together.
Yeah. The storyline with them last year running up to, you know, Kenny taking the belt off of Mox was, you know, they had you to the point where you legit thought Eddie Kingston might do it and then not, and then kind of coming full circle to them becoming friends again after it. So, I think that, and they do, you know, they do kind of have that. You legitimately feel like they're friends, you know, and they're kind of, you know, wouldn't want to meet them down a dark alley. So
it's really kind of fun because you know that anytime Eddie Kingston is booked, he's not booked to win. But you, for some
reason, you feel for him.
You know it. Yeah. You know it going like as you're watching the match. You know Eddie's not winning this match. He's taking not only is he not winning this match,
he's taking it.
He's either getting pinned or he's submitting.
Yeah, yeah.
And by submitting, just giving the finger until he passes out. but it's one of those things where like. He makes it believable, even though you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, like, I wanted him to win that match against CM Punk. Like, I did, but I knew it wasn't going to happen. So, okay. For me, my number five, I'm kind of going out there just because this is more of a in kayfabe reason than actual, I want to say, like, work rate or anything else. The Good Brothers. You know, they had a pretty prominent spot in, you know, earlier in the year when they were, you know, Kenny's kind of heat, I guess, you know, muscle. And then after
the goons.
And then after they left and went back to Impact full time. I mean, they were in Impact full time, but they've just been dominant. I mean, I know they lost. I think they lost the titles for like what, like a month maybe.
Yeah,
and they got them back, and you know they're still
and they're so prominent in New Japan Strong.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm assuming that'll change to New Japan once you know the
world opens.
Yeah, the whole kind of pandemic thing is open.
And actually, both your number fives are my honorable mentions.
Nice,
that makes sense.
I'm gonna just throw it out there now instead of doing it later.
Okay,
but for the same reasons, you know.
Yeah, and I've always liked their dynamic. I like Machine Gun. I think LG is a good heater. You know, good big guy.
The big heater.
Yeah.
They're both veterans now, but they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And they've kind of developed their gimmick. I mean, you know, they are kind of Impact. You know, I mean, they're not technically Bullet Club anymore or whatever, but they still kind of...
They're the good brothers.
Yeah, they still have...
They kind of do enough to allude to their history and keep their, like, fans that stuck with them kind of still in the same boat.
Yeah, yeah. So, for me...
They're not playing different characters.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They have been able to evolve their characters, yet keep it familiar enough that somebody who hasn't seen them since New Japan... Or since whatever, you know, can come back and go, oh, that, you know, that's Doc Gallows.
Yeah, still the same Gallows Anderson.
Machine Gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, did they ever possibly cross paths with the Bullet Club in Impact with Hikulelu and Chris Bay?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. They had a match.
Did they mention the whole Bullet Club scenario?
I don't think they did I think they might have alluded to being, like, Bullet Club OGs at some point, but, like, they never, like... They never really did like the, oh, you're once Bullet Club for life kind of thing. Yeah. Like they didn't allude to still being in Bullet Club or.
Well, you know. they had Jay White.
Yeah.
In that kind of thing, basically be like, you guys aren't welcome. You guys aren't welcome back type of thing. So,
I wasn't sure if they touched on the whole past Bullet Club thing. And
yeah. So I wonder down the line if they'll squash it or if it's more so that, you know, Gallows and Anderson are more super elite or whatever, you know, if that's where their allegiances lay.
They're not part of the Switchblade era.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, but there's like two mini factions within the Bullet Club.
Oh, yeah.
There's so like...
The one we talked about last time, the mini Japanese faction.
The evil Bullet Club.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, so we don't even need to
torture or something.
Torture chamber.
Is it the torture chamber or the torture room or whatever?
Something like that.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Dano.
Quattro.
This is going to be kind of a cop out, but I think it's worthwhile to bring in. It's Pac and whoever they pair him with.
Just Pac plus one.
Pac can't seem to get like good like singles matches going these days, but his work with the Lucha Brothers, whichever one is healthy at a given point.
Well, that's the thing. It's whoever's
able
healthy.
To travel. Yeah.
So his matches with Penta are great. His matches with Phoenix are great. Whoever they pair him with, he just does awesome work with. You know, didn't he even have like a couple like matches where he was partnered with like Hangman at some point? Or
yeah.
So like, he's had great work no matter who he's working with, and it's always good tag matches.
Or too. Any you mm-hmm. know face not, who needs a tag partner.
There are tag matches where it's literally just like singles guy goes and does singles work, tags out singles guy goes and does singles work. Pac always finds a way to kind of still make it a tag match. And still work together with whoever he's partnered with and make it look like a tag match. And I just like trying to get his spots in. So I got to give him a kind of a four here. So it's Pac and whoever.
All right.
Pac plus one. Yeah. my four is MSK.
Okay. From NXT.
From the NXTs. They came in with a bang right after leaving Impact, which was kind of a bang on the way out.
Yeah.
They came in, won the Dusty Rhodes, got the tag titles, held on to them for a while, lost them, won them again, or maybe not lost them, but kept them and then lost them to Imperium at the end of the year. So they pretty much held the titles all year. When I was watching NXT weekly before it changed.
Yeah, to 2.0.
To 2.0, and they switched to Peacock.
Yeah.
Because I was watching it all the time before Peacock, and then it just kind of screwed me.
I think you can still watch it because it still comes up on my DVR. Do you have like Xfinity or anything that's got
DVR? I could record it.
Yeah, so I think I still record it because I like the other week when I heard that AJ Styles was on to chirp at to come at Grayson Waller, I was like, okay, yeah, like I want to see that. I want to see AJ in NXT. It's about 2 years too late, but whatever.
Yeah.
So
MSK.
Cool.
I wish I had a little more. For them,
no. I mean, they're a good team. I think they work well as babyfaces. In 2021, it'll be interesting to see what they do with them going forward.
See, that's what I'm worried about.
With the 2.0, they don't necessarily fit that archetype for what they're kind of going for these days. So I don't know. That's right in the middle. I'm like looking at it. I'm like, I can't see myself in the camera.
It's okay. You don't need to see.
I know. I like how I look though.
No one's here for you, William. No, we are. We're here for you.
Top talent here. Top talent.
Top guy.
Top guys out. So, yeah. So, my number four, and it's not the top guys.
Boom, boom.
My number four actually is Jurassic Express. I really, you know, I like how they've been kind of taken a little more seriously in the second half of the year. You know, if it wasn't going to be the Bucks who unseated, or if it wasn't going to be the Lucha Bros who unseated the Bucks as tag team champs, I kind of assumed it would be
the Express.
They're kind of building towards that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's
Quite there yet.
Yeah, they had the whole, you know, the storyline with Christian, and they're still, you know, tagging, or they were working with them to a degree. Still are, it seems like. But
so heel turn for Christian in terms of that storyline goes probably upcoming the next 6 months, more than likely.
Maybe like it. I don't know how you would go about doing that.
I'm just thinking you're gonna end up having him feud with Jungle Boy at some point.
Yeah, and putting Jungle Boy over would be my. Yeah. I'm kind of surprised that I thought they were gonna do that kind of very early. Like
I think it was predicted like super early, and then they're just like, no, we're gonna slow burn this.
You guys will be friends.
Slow burn it, which Cage, I like. I like slow burn storylines.
Cage will be the less legendy Sting to your guys' Darby.
Taking bumps off the top.
Yeah.
Slow burn storylines. I enjoy these.
Yeah. All right. Well. Not much to say. Outside of what Brian Ari has said. You know, great. I think Luchasaurus has been
getting better.
I've enjoyed more of his hot tag moments in his. You know, like he early on, I felt like he was missing something and I couldn't put together what it was. And I think now he's just progressed in, is just tighter in his delivery.
He just needs to roar. He doesn't need to be the English scholar.
Yeah.
Which he started doing.
I'm fine with him being the English scholar. I'm okay with that. Like behind the scenes for an interview to have him be like, oh,
the history major.
But like we don't need that in like a shoot.
Yeah, no.
He just needs to be the big guy that's gonna kick you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that's my thoughts on that. But do we got a Tessie bouncing around?
She was stuck under your chair.
That sounds about right. My one-eyed, half blind. She's more like three quarters blind because she's like half blind in cone the equipped. Eye, and she only has one eye left. So like
three quarters blind.
She's wearing a cone and she's stuck underneath a folding chair.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Okay. Come on, sweetie.
Dog life. Yeah.
Where's June?
Under the table, right here.
Down behind.
Oh, okay. Good. She had a long day at daycare, so I'm kind of surprised. Like, I'm not surprised, but I'm surprised how.
Oh, give her 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, Dan, numero tres on your list.
This is going to go to the Lucha Bros.
Oh, okay.
So you know, not only are they, you know, reigning tag champs, but they've had a great run against FTR. Overall, these guys deserve to be champs. They deserve the spotlight. They are amazing athletes. Phoenix is probably up there for one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. Got to be, you know, at least in terms of athleticism in the top five.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely insane the kinds of things that man can pull off.
Yeah, he's by far one of the best luchadors in the world today.
Yeah, and Penta is just super solid. Like, there's nothing that guy does wrong. He works, as we mentioned earlier with Pac, they can interchange and still have that same dynamic and work perfectly.
And, he's not as flawless as he was earlier in his career in Lucha Underground and stuff. But like he still brings a passion in like an appeal to his character that's just like
he's also bigger than Phoenix, so like
physically
and older as well. So it's one of those things where they provide a different dynamic, and that's what makes tag teams interesting. I don't like to see tag teams where both guys are flippy guys or both guys are grapple guys. You know,
talking about FTR and the Bucks like that.
So, I think that while both guys, I think they provide enough dynamic between the two of them where they have their own kind of skill sets. Where, you know, Nick Jackson is kind of the Phoenix of that of
the group,
of the Bucks.
Yeah,
you know, where he's a better athlete than Matt is. Matt's older.
Yeah,
you know, So it's one of those things where there's kind of a similar dynamic there. Mm-hmm. But I like that they're able to kind of have that dynamic and finally get their title run.
Yeah. All right. When your end kind of brings me to my three in the Young Bucks.
Mm-hmm. I think we're probably going to all have the same top three.
Yeah, probably.
You know, it wouldn't shock me.
We'll see about that.
All right.
Okay.
So, yeah, Young Bucks is my my trace.
Nice.
Always killing it with the Heat.
Ooh, this year in particular.
Yeah.
The shoe game.
The shoes.
The Elite really have just done a great job at just being like the guys you love to hate. Yeah. And they've just made it.
It's so good at making you hate them. Like, they come out in ridiculous things to hate.
Because you know, too, like, that's just, like, the exact opposite of probably who they are. They're
having,
like,
they seem to be having so much fun being heels, too.
No, yeah. Like, can't go wrong. And the matches, you know, going into a Young Bucks match, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of sad because you expect it to be great. And if you get one of those matches that isn't great, you're
just
like,
okay.
It's you're like, oh, man.
Especially if it's like a pay-per-view match. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
But most of the times they're 9 times out of 10.
Those are good problems to have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my trace.
Okay. My trace, again, and this isn't even like, this isn't even really like a kayfabe thing. This is just, I love these two guys together, and it is Randy Orton and Matt Riddle, RK-Bro.
RK-Bro, all right.
Just the combination of the Randy, of all people, kind of playing a straight man, and Matt Riddle just...
Matt Riddle.
Yeah, just being Matt Riddle. I can't, it's really the only main roster thing that you've can sell me on in WWE right now.
That's on an honorable mention is RK Bro.
All right.
Yeah, that'd be honorable for me as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I just think
their dynamic is fun. I agree with you.
I think if I followed it a little more, I may have a different.
And this is, I think, is solely just me, not even like a work rate thing. Just
slightly
like
the dynamic.
Just,
like,
I love the dynamic. I love them.
But I can't think of a match that I've watched of theirs that was worthwhile watching, but it's one of those things where it's like, I could remember interviews that I've, like, seen clips of them together.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, that's fun. I get that.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And they tease it all the time of the breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they should just have Randy just constantly be giving him, out of nowhere.
Time. Yeah.
You know, RKO is all out of nowhere. And just have him not care. And just be like, oh, like, next time he shows up, like, it's like nothing happened. Like, oh, hey, man, how we doing?
Too many headshots for Riddle.
Like it should just be Orton trying to end this relationship every single day.
It just brings them closer together.
So, great. That's fantastic. Dan, all right. So, your numero dos.
The Bucks.
The Bucks.
So, the Bucks of Youth.
Mm-hmm. The Youth Bucks.
Just awesome year being heels. Super fun to watch. Shoe game on point. Bringing back callbacks to the folks that, you know, to folks that watch them in the indies, like bringing back the tack shoes and just having great matches.
Or even old wrestlers that they imitate here and there.
So they've just been awesome all year long. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I don't want to see them back in the title picture anytime soon just because there's so many other tag teams that I want to see have a run in AEW, and there's only so much time that you can get these guys in their prime. But, you know, the Bucks are could be that consistent, you know, level that they have to reach to hit those belts.
I feel. Was that two?
That's dose.
Yeah, that's
my
two.
My dose is dose Lucha Bros.
The Lucha Bros.
That's my dose. Pretty much everything you had said, mentioned already. I'm sure it's gonna beating a dead horse.
Yep.
But their gear also is on point.
Oh, very much so.
And
the Aztec gear.
That was my favorite one.
Oh my god, that was so the headdress, dude.
It was my favorite gear.
Yep.
I
don't like the Joker gear, to be honest.
I think I got old of the Joker gear because so many people were doing it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he wore it too many times.
Yeah,
like it'd be one of those things where, like, if it was like for one, like
a one off, but he kept it.
Like Johnny Gargano was not wearing the, you know, wouldn't wear the Takeover gear. You know, the week after, he just wear it once and be done with.
Then back
but still, they came back and again did the Aztec gear. That stuff was on point.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with the Bucks. Like, you go into a match expecting it to be ridiculous.
Yeah. You're just their name tied to the match brings an expectation level of what the match is going to be.
Mm-hmm. So are we on to me?
Yeah.
All right, because my number two, I agree with Brian, is the Lucha Bros. I put them at number two just because instead of my number one, just because, you know, the guys that they took the titles off of, the Bucks, just I think outside of, their title picture, they've had more interesting story, interacting with Hangman and stuff. And now that, you know, Adam Cole's back or is, you know, alive again, whatever. I don't know.
He's a revenant.
Yeah, like the whole thing with the Lucha Bros, you know, with Pac and Andrade fighting for, you know, ownership of Dominic Mysterio. I mean, the Lucha Bros. it wasn't as interesting as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, they kind of tapered off. They could have gone a different angle with it, I think, and they didn't.
Yeah, and now with, you know, Malakai Black and Andrade not being like a faction, but not, you know, like
not being a tag team.
I also don't. Yeah, I just don't think they know what to do with Andrade right now.
Yeah,
and it could, I don't know if it's just due to him doing stuff in AAA or what, but you know,
yeah.
That if we go do like what do you want to see next year? I want to see some direction with Andrade.
Yeah, but I think the fact that yes, they're the tag team champs now, obviously puts them up there, and just that. That cage match is probably my favorite match of the year.
So good.
It was amazing. I think it even kind of took the wind out from the main event from that night.
Oh, did it did.
That I was just like, okay, I'm sold on it, and they definitely earned that championship with that match. So, yep. Number two.
Mm. So do you all have the same number one?
Probably.
What's your number one?
FTR.
It's mine.
You don't have FTR?
Nope.
Did you have them in your top five?
Nope.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, I like
William.
I like FTR.
William.
I like FTR. I haven't liked them as much this year as I liked them.
But they finally established like what they are, like as a group, like outside of WWE.
Yeah, they're basically the Midnight Express.
Yes, but it's like great.
Midnight Express. But and I like that.
It worked then. It still works now.
I know. No, I mean, my number one is the Young Bucks.
Okay.
So, I mean, I loved FTR's style of wrestling. I think just mine's going just between a combination of how dominant and stuff they were in kayfabe, their, you know, their storylines, and then how enjoyable their matches were. I can't point out an FTR match that I absolutely loved throughout the year. I do like them as, you know, as heels and, and I think they fit well in the Pinnacle, but they just haven't done anything for me to be like, yeah, these are the top guys.
So I think you're wrong. And they are the top guys.
That's okay. Agree to disagree.
They are the top guys.
They are the top guys.
And they're my number one tag team of the year.
Yeah, they're my top guys.
They're goddamn top guys,
and top frogs,
and they had top frogs.
They're top frogs
coming out as living legends in all green lucha gear. Come on, man, yeah. It was perfect. It was great matches. The one thing that I will kind of eke a little bit towards Will a little bit is they didn't seem to have the same chemistry with the Lucha Brothers as they did with the Bucks.
Okay.
Where they had a much harder time keeping up with, I think, the Lucha Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Bucks kind of were able to work both styles. And the Lucha Brothers made, and it's tough to say if it's a failure of FTR or the Lucha Bros to not team, like, come down to their style a little bit.
Yeah.
But
that, and I mean, you got to think how many dozens of times have the Lucha Brothers worked with the Young Bucks at this point?
Yeah.
Whereas the two of, you know, FTR and the Bucks and FTR and the Lucha Bros maybe have had a half dozen each.
Couple, yeah.
You know, like, yep. So I totally understand. And that is, like I said, is my issue with FTR is they are great guys. I think they can work. They can work with any tag team and put on a good tag team match. I'm not saying that they are, you know, bad wrestlers. That's obviously not. They're fantastic workers, but for me, I think the Bucks just consistently, you know, like went from the end of last year and taking the titles off of FTR to getting this stupidly long reign to having it end at the perfect time with the perfect match.
I just look at it this way, man. Like FTR were a big reason. Did you see the six man match with CM Punk, Darby, and Sting?
Yes.
They made Sting look like a valid wrestler at his age. Like, it was them doing it.
Yeah,
like they were able to sell and make it work. Like make Sting actually be able to take like bumps and do stuff.
Mm-hmm. And he took that.
It didn't look bad.
No,
it didn't look hokey. It didn't look fake.
He took that splash off the top rope. Yeah, off the top rope to the outside. Like saved MJF from breaking his fucking neck too.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
So these guys are great. So this year they showcased how great they are.
And then being the triple A tag.
Yeah, and still holding those belts.
Mm-hmm.
Those look like cardboard pasted on other cardboard.
Well, I'm sure it's a whole new thing for them watching more lucha style versus just having.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. But like, in my opinion, they held up their end of the bargain pretty well.
Being top guys.
Yeah.
Top guys out.
Top guys.
Okay.
That and the throwback theme to.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, the Midnight Express is a banger.
Between the new theme and their
retro gear,
with
the 80s,
it finally makes them working with Tully kind of be like a thing now. Like it took a while for that to gel like properly, and it finally did.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I always thought that they were like that Tully was a good pairing. Not that they needed somebody to speak for them because they don't. I don't think that they ever needed Tully to like get involved. Like when Tully had that match.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm like I don't need Tully Blanchard wrestling.
Tully just wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things where I think like
he was like Sting went, I can still go.
There are positives and negatives to AEW, and AEW, I think that is their one major negative is if Ric Flair is like, I want to do one last match. AEW is like, sure. Yeah.
Like here you go.
Yeah.
You know,
they're just gonna let whatever old person die on their like their mat.
I don't want to see Ric Flair.
Nobody wants to see it.
I don't want to see Ric Flair in an AEW ring.
That'd be the whole definition of Flair flop.
Yeah, but
it'd be real this time.
But it'd be something that AEW I could see them doing just because Tony is unfortunately also a fan, and like there are things that works for, and there are things that it doesn't, and the things that doesn't is like giving these old wrestlers a last shot when they don't really need one.
No, he can come in, cut a promo, whatever. No. But
although we have seen some gems out of that, I mean, we wouldn't have learned about Arne Glock.
Glock Anderson, the illegitimate son. All right. Any other honorable mentions outside of that?
I mentioned mine. Then maybe Sting and Darby kind of hanging on.
Yeah, they're fun.
At the very end.
Yeah. I don't want to see... I don't need to see Sting wrestling every like 3 weeks.
No.
It's
a good concept. Like you mentioned with Riddle and.
Yeah. And I liked like that cinematic match that they had in the
warehouse.
Abandoned warehouse. Yeah. That was awesome.
That was awesome. They haven't really done anything like that since.
No, I'm sure it costs a lot of money to do.
Yeah. It's probably an investment.
But yeah, I'd like to see them get back to that, do something else like that. Cause I thought that was really an interesting thing. It probably doesn't go over as well in the stadium.
No,
probably not.
You know, like in the arena.
That's one of those things you can do it because pandemic required you do something like that.
Yeah, or if you do like a, you know, like you have it at, you could have it be on Rampage since Rampage is pre-recorded. Have a couple episodes of Rampage and then, you know,
add it in.
Yeah, add it in. Like, or you could have it part of like, like, Battle of the Belts or whatever, or like those, you know, the next one of those specials, have it be at the beginning or the end of that. And, you know, you get that cinematic match type of thing. So that probably makes sense to as why they haven't done that kind of thing recently. But yeah.
Well, it's good to have, you know, and not make it a thing that you expect every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Honorable mentions for me, actually, I know, say what you will about, you know, people in politics or whatever, but because I think he's gotten some heat over some stuff recently. Varsity Blondes.
Oh,
yep.
I think was it Pillman and the like cancel culture stuff, or not going to get into that, but
I didn't pay attention to that.
Yeah, but or, he was getting some heat online for something. I'm sure he's fine, but yeah. But that, you know, they had a brief run where they went up the ranks and where they were number one contenders, you know, for a week or whatever. And, it, give them a couple more years. They're rough around the edges. But even like Griff Garrison and Malachi Black, that match was pretty good.
Yeah. It was mad.
Yeah. Like, he's.
I kind of expected it to be a lot quicker, but it was more of a match.
Yeah. I like the gimmick. Having Julia Hart with them really kind of seals the deal for the
varsity thing.
Yeah, for the whole varsity, mm-hmm. We're basically, you know, pretty jocks who can wrestle type of thing.
I still want to see a heel turn out of those guys. Because they can become the stereotypical 80s jocks.
Yeah.
Like
Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah. Just like,
like, just have, like, Pillman, like, be like, I'm going to race you out of the K-9. You know, if they're gonna keep that gimmick going, just take the opposite side of it.
Yeah,
like have them like pick on Marco Stunt or something.
But yeah, any other honorable mentions from you guys?
The Acclaimed for me.
Oh yeah, I completely forgot about the Acclaimed.
You know, after a couple of cancel culture kind of thing that came in for a little bit, they came back strong. Yeah. Had some really good matches.
They're ranked third right now?
Yeah. I could see if down the line, if they were to split, I could see Bowens becoming a pretty big thing.
He's gotten really good this year.
Yeah.
Solid work in the ring.
Yeah. And Max just has undeniable charisma.
Oozes.
Microphone skills for days.
Yeah. So,
that's quicker than I thought.
Yeah, I would toss it out to the dudes from Imperium. You know,
it was kind of hard for the NXT UK guys because I haven't really watched them.
Yeah.
I know their Imperium now is in the US because they're the tag champs. And I saw that next week Walter is going to actually be in the US and they have a match against Riddle and MSK.
Yeah, they're doing the New Year's. Yeah.
A lot of the other NXT tag teams are all gone now.
I'm like, don't exist anymore.
They
it's almost like when NXT got Vinceified that the tag teams went away.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got released.
So weird that
moved up or
tag team wrestling, something that I don't know, maybe WWE doesn't believe in.
I saw a quote somewhere. It was like Vince was like, why pay four guys when I could have two? When I could just pay two guys, that was legitimately the quote. Like, I'm like, because people like variety. People like different ways of storytelling. Like,
there's only really a couple tag teams. There's Imperium. There's Legado del Fantasma.
Yeah,
MSK, and then the new team with Briggs and
Josh Briggs and
Brooke Jensen.
Yeah,
there,
yeah,
the men's men's.
What's funny is that
they're literally just like, we like country music. Like, that's the gimmick now. It's like, we like country music. Like, and not like good country music.
When
like,
we eat a steak.
We're talking stereotypical bad country music.
Yeah.
Country when music, I eat a steak, I eat a blue.
The country music that your uncle listens to, not the country music your girlfriend listens to.
Yeah. Like, that's their promos now.
Yeah.
So, that's funny, like, it's just weird to see, like, how far, like, his character went from, like, the I don't like you.
Yeah,
Josh Briggs of old
I'm a big man who's a manly man, and I eat steak blue.
Just the interesting part for the weird state of tag team wrestling in WWE, I just want to point out real quick, is you've seen so many references to tag teams that have previously existed this year during storylines and during quick bits, like having Sheamus versus Cesaro, and legitimately like Cesaro being like, you're my brother kind of like situation, and like you know, obviously references for, you know, for a very long time between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Mm-hmm. You know, they constantly have their thing going on. Yeah. Like, but they, for some reason, these the tag teams just are never part of like their own stories unless they're broken up or unless they're feuding with each other.
Yeah, yeah. And even though the Usos are involved in the Bloodline story with Reigns.
And, mm-hmm. But even there, they're just the goons. They're, they're not the Usos.
They're the goons. Yeah. The Bloodline.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that was fun. Do we want to move on to...
A little quicker than I thought.
Yeah.
Maybe we're getting the hang of this.
We might be. We might be just really fucking up, too. Who knows?
Yep.